Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Marvel Chronology episode. We're still continuing with the Thanos reading order. It is also a 12 days of the Comic Source episode. So we hope you're all enjoying all the holiday and Christmas episodes we're putting out for you. Obviously, not all the episodes we are putting out are holiday themed. Certainly, this Warlock episode is not this Warlock issue. Doesn't have anything to do with Christmas, but we're just putting out a ton of content so we can share our love of comics with you all and spread some positive good cheer in Christmas time. So hopefully a lot of you are getting to have time off and you're getting to enjoy these episodes and, kind of remember the joy of comics in this tough year that we've all had. So let me go ahead and get started with the issue. The story is by Jim Starlin, as is the art. We've got coloring by Michelle Wolfman. The editor is Archie Goodwin, lettering by Tom Orzechowski. So apparently Starlin even inks himself on this one, and that might be why the art is a little different than we are used to seeing. It's not quite as clean. So when we last did the Thanos reading order, it was a Warlock issue. It was Warlock issue 11. And we got the end of the story about the struggle between Warlock and the Magus. Obviously, some time has passed now. Not sure exactly what Adam Warlock has been up to because it's been too long since I've read that stuff, to be honest with you. But this is the final issue of his regular series. And this is the next time Thanos shows up in the Marvel Universe. He's just in this book just for a very brief period of time. But I'm going to go ahead and go through the whole thing because Adam Warlock and Thanos, they do have sort of a close intertwined relationship in the Marvel Universe throughout the years. So it starts off and we see that Adam Warlock has grown to a huge size and he's being his normal angsty self. And it says the first of these events takes place in our own star system of Sol, where we find our hero, Adam Warlock, most singularly distressed, and he's calling out why have the fates conspired against him. He has grown to this tremendous size. He can't even go back to the place of his birth. He can't go to his homeworld of Earth because apparently he has grown to this tremendous size. He says, during the last few years I've wandered thousands of light years from Earth and I've grown. Unfortunately, my world has not grown as quickly as I. And he says, it's funny, you hear about the expanding universe theory, but I didn't think it could affect me. But, apparently he was in some place called the Herculean Galaxy. And as that galaxy expanded at a rate far superior to the Milky Way's own growth, faster, he finds himself this nebulous giant when he comes back to the Milky Way. Neither light nor gravity in this mini solar system that is the Earth solar system can affect him. And just like he can't go to Earth, he can't go to Counter Earth. And, he's thinking about how he once called that planet home and it's denied to him as well. All the people that he knew there might as well be dead. And the one being who might even have an answer to his predicament of being this giant size, the high evolutionary, that help is denied to him as well. And he's thinking about how the high evolutionary thought that the experiment of Counter-Earth had gone horribly wrong, but Adam Warlock, through his actions, was able to have that world spared, was able to cleanse it from evil. And, eventually the people there of Counter-Earth thought of him as a god, but now it doesn't matter. They don't even know that he exists. He's nothing to them. He doesn't even exist in their reality. So he just feels like he's a homeless misfit who doesn't belong in this star system. So he leaves and he says he's going to go out searching for a new planet that he can call home. Meanwhile, over in Sanctuary One, which we know as the gigantic space arc that Thanos calls home, speaking of homes, he's repaired the damage that happened during the final battle with the Magus. And he's there with Gamora, the most dangerous woman in the universe. And he's working on his experiments and he's you know, plotting his machinations as he always does. And Gamora calls out to him, Thanos, you got to help me out. I'm bored, right? Here you are. You have all your machines and you're puttering around and I have nothing to do except watch you. And quite frankly, that's boring. And Thanos is like, yeah, I understand. I wish you could aid me in my work, but, you know, regrettably, I bred you for your physical prowess, not your scientific ability. But he says there is something that you could do. You could go find Warlock. As you know, I have use for that gleaming fool, he calls him, in my future plans. That's why I helped him in his battle against the Magus. So maybe it would be advisable for you to seek him out, become his unofficial bodyguard, you know, keep him safe so that when I need him, he'll be there. Because we know that Warlock is impetuous and idealistic, and it's a combination that can get him into a lot of trouble and even lead to his death, unless a cooler mind such as your own is there to provide some logical thinking and temper his emotion. And Gamora says, okay, this should prove to be an interesting assignment. And she takes her leave. And as she's heading to one of the ships in the bay there, the hold, she thinks, you know, my past contact with Adam Warlock's proven to him, for him to be a real intriguing individual, but also very secretive. And if there's anything I love, it's a mystery. I do want to learn more about him. So Thanos watches her depart and thinks to himself, okay, she's gone. Now I can work toward my true goal without having to conceal it from anybody, even Gamora, because even she would turn on me if she knew what I was really striving for, which is the total stellar genocide of this entire universe. And Warlock's going to be a pawn in this, and his power is what's going to make it all possible. And that's it for Thanos showing up in this series. So we know he's planning something big, even bigger apparently than the whole gaining the cosmic cube and becoming one with the universe. He's planning something, plotting something much bigger than that. And Adam Warlock is going to be necessary for those plans. So meanwhile, we return to Adam Warlock, and he's still searching for a home, and he stumbled upon some trouble. There's an aged humanoid who's being pulled from his spacecraft by these green aliens. And, you know, although most people that are traveling through space, when they don't really know what's going on, they're going to mind their own business, because thoughtless intervention has led to more than one bothersome intruder ending up dead, Starlin tells us. But Adam Warlock, you know, he's never one to shy away from what he considers injustice. You know, it's that morality in him. He's going to stand up for the little guy or what he perceives to be somebody being wrong. So we get some truly wonderful dialogue here. Adam Warlock wades in and punches one of the green aliens and says, unhand that old man's space spawn. And the old man says, by the stars, I'm saved. And one of the other aliens says, that's not very likely, you old geezer. But obviously he doesn't know the power of Adam Warlock. So he takes care of these three aliens pretty quickly. And then there's a fourth alien who rises up out of the ship. And she says, my name is Margar. I'm a certified representative of Interplanetour Incorporated. So kind of like entrepreneur, but Interplanetour. And it's an intergalactic corporation, apparently. And this older gentleman who was flying this ship, Lamilm Gar, he took out a loan. And he put up the car for collateral, the space cruiser, I should say, for collateral. And these aliens, they're basically they're repo men, repo aliens, if you will. And this Gar, he's failed to repay his loan. And he's like, I meant to pay. Things have been tight. And the other green alien's like, no more sob stories. And Adam Warlock's like, wait, you're telling me that you repossessed his cruiser? But what about him? Are you going to take him with you? And Gar says, well, no, our job's to repossess the spaceship. We don't have any responsibility to be a taxi service for this guy. that just pisses Adam Warlock off. So he looks at her and says, old man, get in your cruiser and take off. And when you arrive at whatever destination you're going to, I suggest you pay back your loan you know, secure the funds you need, because next time I'm not going to be around to make sure you're not abandoned in space. And meanwhile, he turns to Gore and says, now go, because no one's going to seek to stop you, correct? And Gore says, okay, correct, you know, whatever you say. And so the old man flies off, and Warlock says, Margar, I've met your kind of creatures back on Earth, passionless dealers. All you care about is money. You know, I'd hoped that kind of species was restricted to just that sad planet. But instead, I find that the same madness is infesting the heavens. Never again will the stars shine as brightly for me. So, man, Adam Warlock's in a bad way. Like, he runs across these alien repo men, and just because they're doing their job, and granted, it's kind of sleazy, and it's definitely crappy to leave that guy in the middle of nowhere, but they're just doing their jobs. And I get it. It is sort of cynical that even, you know, out amongst the stars, money is, you know, the driving motivation for people. But to say never again will the stars shine as brightly just because he came across a situation, it's like, man, Adam Warlock is emo for sure in this issue. So we cut back over to Gamora, and she's thinking, well, you really kind of took on a lot here. You got to look around for the Starhopper, like Warlock. He could be anywhere. You know, there's millions of cubic light years of space, but it can be worth it if she can get close enough to Adam Warlock to figure out how he fits into Thanos's plans, because she sensed that Thanos is keeping her in the dark about something. There's some part of his plan that she's not privy to. And I think it worries her a little. She thinks about how much she owes Thanos, how she owes Thanos her life. But the fact that he is so secretive has raised doubts. Like, she's starting to have her doubts about whether she should be working for Thanos, whether she shouldn't be opposing him. And she's trying to figure out what he's up to. So as she's flying through space, all of a sudden there's this figure flying toward her. And once it gets close enough, we see that it's Drax the Destroyer. And he says, Gamora, thrall of Thanos, I have come for you. And she says, no, not you. And he crashes into the spaceship. It explodes. And we hear that the air inside the ship rings with Gamora's unbelievable cry, followed by the explosive sound of metal and breaking glass. And then as the air escapes, all we're left with is silence. So what of Drax? What of Gamora? Don't know. They don't show back up in the issue. And again, this is the final issue of Warlock. So meanwhile, Adam Warlock has found a dead world. He's found some peace and some silence, and he wonders if this could be a place that he could stay for a while. And he thinks that once this planet teemed with life before it left its orbit and became a wandering planet, and he's thinking of it as a metaphor for his own life. You know, he had everything he could wish for. He had power, he had freedom, he had followers, he had excitement. And when he was acting as Earth and Counter-Earth's protector, he had a reason for existing, but all that's been taken from him. And he says, in fact, the only thing I've had to protect anyone from lately is myself. And perhaps I should go out and try to be a hero again. I should find a cause and become a champion. You know, I've become too cynical of late to believe in anything. It's so hard to do anything when I feel like I don't have purpose. I'm just apathetic to everything. And he cries out, what do I do now? And then we hear a voice off panel saying, well, perhaps you should try looking past yourself. And that's actually good advice, because like I said, we're getting complete emo Adam Warlock here. You know, he's always been a character that's very driven by angst and by emotion. And, you know, he's really tightly wound up and definitely an emo kind of guy. But yeah, he's so, in a way, self-involved. You know, look beyond yourself. And he does at various times, but man, he's like almost call him bipolar in a way. Anyway, he's surprised by this voice off panel, and he says, who? And he turns, and we see this alien who says, I'm just an ancient traveler, or maybe a humble thinker, maybe even a crazed hermit. You know, think of me as you will, but that's your decision. And what you need to understand is, you can seek understanding, or you can continue to shout blindly into the wind. And Adam Warlock is like, well, this guy seems to know what he's talking about. You know, go ahead, ancient one, speak on. what is this purpose that I exist to fulfill? And this wise old alien says, well, life is its own purpose, right? Every life is a vibration. It sends out a ripple, a constant expanding force, reaching out and growing until it encounters the vibrations from another life. And they meet and they affect each other. And then there's change. And then they continue and they extend themselves, reaching out to the stars where they find new ripples, new contact. And it's eternal change. And isn't it enough to exist? Isn't it enough to be part of that whole and to be, you know, affecting others and affecting change and living your life? And Adam Warlock says, no, I want more. You know, he's been a part of so many important events already in his short time in existence. And he says, I've seen my future. I know I have less than a year to live, and I want to leave behind something of value. And the alien's like, wait, you want to be remembered? You're trying to gain immortality through memory because you don't have biological immortality? Don't you see that the goals like that, you're not going to care about them after you're dead? Is it that you fear dying? Is that what's blinding you? And Warlock says, no, death has no terror for me. It's life I fear. I don't want to be a victim of life. I don't want to have my choices and my freedoms taken away from me. And the alien says, well, if you deny your destiny, then who are you? Right? I too have seen your future. And in this game called life, you're a loser, Warlock. It's in your nature to lose. And in a little over a year, you're gonna die alone, killed by both Thanos and your own hands. But even before that, you're going to watch everything you love. You're going to watch Gamora, Pip, many others you care for pass from this life. And along with them, the high evolutionary is going to die. You're going to be the cause of that. And so by the time the end comes, everyone's going to hate you. You're going to be one of the most hated people to ever travel the spaceways. And the only thing people are ever going to value is that you're finally dead. So, you know, how's that for something to lay on somebody? And then the alien says, is it not time to look beyond the body to the spirit? Do you mean the soul? Or are you perhaps referring to the soul gem? Is that the root of all my problems? And there's no response. And Adam Warlock turns, well, are you? And he's gone. He's left. So not sure who this alien was. I mean, he went from seeming trying to comfort and offer good advice to Warlock to just raking him over the coals, you know, saying what you're striving for is meaningless, like to be remembered, it doesn't matter. And Warlock's destiny is to be a victim of life, to be a loser, and to lose everybody that he cares about. I mean, it seems like he's already lost their companionship. Now he's going to be the cause of all their deaths and the cause of his own death along with Thanos. I mean, it's quite a bit to lay on a guy. You can't blame him for being emo after something like that. But he decides to leave the planet. There's nothing there except his thoughts. And we move on to another planet called Degenera. We see Pip the Troll is there. Apparently he's been robbing and thieving, and a constable comes to the bar where Pip is hanging out and kind of feels him out. He says, hey, there's been a lot of robberies since you've arrived in this area. And Pip kind of throws him off the scent, saying, you don't think I had anything to do with it, right? Look at my innocent face. But there's plenty of other people around here. That this whole bar is full of felons. And he starts pointing people out and saying, you know, this person is crooked. This person's a clever criminal. You know, this guy lies all the time. And then he picks up his bag of loot and tells the constable, well, I got to go do my laundry. I'll see you later. You know, stuff like dirty undies, wallets, rings, and whatnot. And, you know, it seems like he had fooled the constable for a moment. But then we said, wait, wallets, rings, you're under arrest, but it's too late. Pip has made his leave. So meanwhile, we see Adam Warlock arrive at another planet. This one much more Earth-like, And he says, okay, great. This is exactly what I've been looking for. There's an atmosphere just like my home planet. And I hope that I have the strength to do what I must. Let me come to this isolated place. Nobody else can fall victim for what's about to occur. Nobody can be harmed but myself. That old hermit, you know, he implied something about the soul gem, that it might contain the answers to what I seek. It might be the cause of all my problems that have plagued me. And how ironic that one of my most crushing burdens may hold the key to solving this angst that's eating me up. But in order to do that, I've got to learn exactly what the soul gem is. It's you know, far more than a jewel that wants to feed on souls. It seems to be a living being. It's shown signs of intelligent life these last years. And I've got to somehow communicate with it. I've learned that I can't survive without it. So even though I'm the master of the gem, I'm also its prisoner. And now I've got to try to communicate with my slave. I'm so physically linked to it. There must be a mental bond there that I can probe as well. But I need to concentrate. I need to be uninterrupted for me to link up with it. And he's holding the gem in his hand, and he's concentrating, and he's willing it to surrender its black secrets to him. And he hears the voice. He hears the gem's voice. He says, "Yes, come into my warm embrace. It's calm here. There's no pain, but I rule within." And Adam Warlock's, "Wait, what's happened to me?" And we turn the page, and he's being sucked into the gem. And the gem, it seems very malevolent. And it's saying, "This is the price I demand to give up my secrets I knew would one day deliver you to me. You would want to know. And this event that's happening was, you know, destined to happen. And I've so long cried to be free of your petty moral restrictions." You know, the gem wants to feed. And Adam Warlock, for a long time, you know, once he realized what the gem was, and it was stealing these souls and trapping them within the gem, and those souls would torment him, he has refused to use the gem. And the gem is saying that it's cried to the quiet about the hunger that is within it. "But you refused to give me any souls. But you should know I'm not to be stopped. I'm power. I'm one of the six." This is the first time we're hearing about the possibility of more gems. And we know that to be the infinity gems. And the gem says, "My mother was a star. My father was destruction. I'm logic. I'm survival. I'm power. And I'm not going to be enslaved by emotion or your biology. I'm the stronger of us. And now I claim you as the vessel. I'm going to control you as opposed to the other way around. You're going to be the slave. It's going to be me who determines the fate. Today begins the reign of the soul gem." And Adam Warlock just rejects that outright. He says, "No, I have always controlled my own destiny. I've always been my own master. That has been my life." And that's true. Like, right from the time he was created as him, others always sought to control him. Other people always sought to pull the strings. And Thanos was doing it in the story arc that we just went through. But to some extent, because it matched up with Adam Warlock's desires as well to defeat the Magus, he went along with it. But Adam's always going to be, you know, super independent. It's just who he is. It's baked into his character. He'd rather die than be a slave. And he goes on to tell the gem, "You know, this has been my life. I know no other. I'll live no other life. I am Adam Warlock. I'm either free or I'm dead. Do you understand me, you Emerald Viper?" So, you know, exactly what I was just saying. He would rather die than live as a slave to anyone or anything. And the gem has to relent. He says, "Curse you, Warlock. I do. You retain your freedom." Like, the gem does understand him. And Adam Warlock, holding the gem in his hand, is now back in the physical world. And he says, "Yeah, I knew you would. I foresaw this possibility, you trying to take control if I put myself in a vulnerable position. That's why I came to this isolated area to try this. If anything bad were to happen to me, there's no other body for you to take over. No, you know, weaker mind that you could enslave. And I also knew that even if you did manage to enslave my body, my mind would be beyond your control. And with my spirit free, you didn't have any option, right? It was either let me go or I was going to kill myself. And then you have no one. You have no one to transport you around. So the gem was willing to surrender at that point, thinking to itself, well, better to surrender now and stay managed by Adam Warlock in the hopes of trying again later, rather than, you know, have the battle of wills with Warlock. Warlock terminates his own life through sheer force of will, and the gem's left with nothing. So Adam leaves the planet saying, of course you surrendered to me. To you, life is more important than freedom. We know that to be the opposite for Adam Warlock. Freedom is more important to him than his very life. And in the last panel of the issue, in the last panel of the series, Adam Warlock says, because freedom is more important to you than life, you're destined to stay a cold, emotionless stone. And that's why, good or bad, I will always be Adam Warlock. You know, he's always going to value freedom, or he's always going to value freedom rather over death, or over life, I guess you'd say. So that, like I said, that finishes up the series. I will say the last panel is absolutely spectacular. I will put a screenshot of it in the show notes. It's Starlin at the height of his powers. This isn't the best art I've seen from Starlin. And again, it goes to the fact that he inked himself. I think he's better when he's inked by others to kind of clean up his art. For all I know, this stuff was scanned directly from the pencils. The art's just not as tight or as clean as you're used to seeing from Starlin. But that being said, it's still, you know, dynamic and beautiful. And this final shot is perfect. Why they ended the series, I think the sales just weren't there. It was a bi-monthly title, and I know that he had saved Captain America or Captain Marvel title from cancellation, rather, and it lasted quite a few more issues, but he couldn't do the same with Warlock. I think the character was just a little too obscure. To me, these stories are great. You know, seeing Gamora, seeing Drax the Destroyer, Thanos, Warlock. I mean, these are classic cosmic Marvel characters that are amazing. I love these stories. I vastly prefer this look of Gamora and this look of Drax than the modern looks. I mean, Drax with the purple, the big purple cape and the purple pirate boots. I mean, that to me, that's Drax, and always will be the look that he has, like in Guardians of the Galaxy, the Dave Bautista look. I hate that look on Drax. I hate it. It's totally boring. With the like the red tattoos or scars or whatever they are on his shoulders, it's just boring to me. So seeing these original characters again has brought me a lot of joy. So again, Christmas time to spread some good cheer, and I hope I'm doing that by talking about these stories and these characters that I haven't read in a long time, and I've really been enjoying revisiting them. And then obviously it's the Thanos reading order, so. This is where we get some clues to the fact that Thanos is planning something huge. And we also get some clues that Gamora is starting to get wise to him, despite the fact that he's her adopted father and she owes him rather so much for saving her and for training her and such. He is not a good guy, right? Even though he helped out Adam Warlock by helping him defeat the mages, but we know that, you know, when you talk about who Thanos is, he has really kind of transcended good or evil, even at this point. When you think about where he is in the modern Marvel universe, the current present Marvel universe, and we even got a hint with that in that retro story that I covered with the Thanos Annual One. I keep going back to that. There's so much to mine there. The one from 2010 that Jim Starlin and Ron Lim did. You know, there's that scene in that annual where the future Thanos takes the past Thanos and he shows them all the cosmic entities, you know, the in-betweener and Ego and Eternity and the Celestials and the Lords of Chaos and Order and all those. And he says, you know, Thanos himself is among those cosmic entities now. So it's like the more powerful you get, and the in-betweener was saying it in the previous issue of Warlock that we did, issue 11, I think it was, you get to a certain point, a level of power, and things like good and evil, right and wrong, they apply less to you. And I'm not saying that's how it should be. I'm just saying that's kind of reality. You stop worrying about things like, let's assume, for instance, that ants were sentient, but we weren't aware of it. Like, we didn't know that ants can think and feel and have emotion and communicate and, you know, just like we do. They're so beneath us that we don't think about stepping on an ant or kicking over an ant hill or whatever, because we can't fathom that. It's so far beneath us. It's kind of out of our understanding. And even if we did understand it to some extent, would we care? I mean, there's millions of ants, so whatever, who cares? And that's kind of what I'm getting at here, where, you know, Thanos ascends to a certain level, and depending on the gap, he's just not going to care. And maybe he shouldn't. I don't know. That's not, you know, for me to say one way or the other. Obviously, Thanos is not there yet. And the fact that he worships death, and there's a lot of other problems, you know, he's egotistical and he's manipulative and whatever. And those traits are what actually make him a villain, right? Because just like, you know, going back to the in-betweener we were just talking about, the in-betweener, he's not in himself inherently good or bad. He's not manipulative. He's not worshiping death. So because he doesn't have those characteristics, you can't say he's a villain. You can't say he's a hero. He's above all that. His motivations are totally different. But again, going back to Thanos, it's like, that's why he's a villain, because he's doing things out of, a sense of what's in it for me. What do I want? It's all coming from an egocentric point of view. It's all selfish. And that's who Thanos is. But at various times, you know, and it happens much more as he becomes more popular in the Marvel universe, and as, you know, other creators work on him, and even when Starlin comes back to work on him, he continues to evolve the character, and eventually he gets to a point where he does start to leave some of that stuff behind. And I think that's where he starts to kind of ascend to a more, you know, midway point, like Future Thanos was talking about. Yeah, you're kind of in the middle of these different cosmic entities. You're not, you know, way up at the top with like Eternity and such, but you're not at the bottom either with the Celestials and some of those more powerful beings that are immortal, but, you know, can't affect cosmic change on a grand scale. So super, super interesting. And, you know, like I said, part of the reason I started off this Thanos reading order is because I just love the character so much, but I've never, first of all, I haven't read everything that he's been in. I have gaps here and there. And I just wanted to go back and let's just read it all in kind of one flowing narrative instead of, you know, picking pieces here or there. And I know I haven't been going as fast as I should, but, you know, read a ton of Thanos stories for this 12 days of the comic store. So, like I said, it's been a big blessing. And I hope you guys have all enjoyed getting what I think five episodes of Thanos reading order. So we'll definitely, I'll definitely continue to try to get them out at least on a weekly basis going forward. So again, I want to thank everybody for listening. As always, I hope you're enjoying all the content that we're putting out for the holidays, as I've said before. And I also want to wish everybody happy holidays, Merry Christmas, whatever you celebrate. I hope it's joyous. And I know it's tough because a lot of us are isolating and we can't really spend time with family and friends. We're trying to be responsible and be safe. And I applaud everybody that's doing that because it helps to keep us all more healthy. So once we put this pandemic in the rearview mirror, we'll have many more Christmases and holidays to celebrate together. So shout out to everybody who's doing whatever they can to keep their family members and their friends safe. I really, really appreciate it. So again, season's greetings to everybody. Thanks so much for listening. And we'll talk to you next time.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.